It's just Marina Rav Shli. Sukkah is called Diras Arai, a temporary abode. We go from our Diras Keva, our fixed abode, to a temporary abode. In a sense, for the last 18 months, we've been at home. We've been, although home is a fixed abode, for our shul purposes, it's been a temporary abode. Now we're back, Baruch Hashem. So it's with great joy that we are now in our permanent mikdosh, so to speak. We've come back from our Diras Arai into a Diras Keva. And we're normalizing, and it's a great simcha to be together again in person. However wonderful Zoom is, it's just not the same with interaction and so on. And you get the schalicha, you come to shul, we're together, we got the achdus inside the building, and it's wonderful. And the other wonderful thing, of course, is now you've got the bagels and smoked salmon. I mean, I've always known the secret, that the real reason why most people are coming is really because of the bagels and smoked salmon. Well, it doesn't really matter, because Chazal say, mitok shelo lishmo bo lishmo. So, okay, if you come for a different reason, at least you'll end up learning Torah lishmo. And it's interesting because in the subject of Sukkos, the Abavanel notes that the word simcha is used three times, as opposed to Pesach just once. Shavuot, it doesn't even say the word simcha at all. We learn it out, of course, in the Gemara. But simcha, the idea of rejoicing, is really by Sukkos or Samachtem. And the Abavanel says it's really something materialistic, because we are doing Chaga Osif. We are gathering in our produce. We were worried during the year about our panosa, about our livelihood. Come Sukkos, the grain has come in, and we celebrate, and that celebration, which is the Gashmias, affects the spiritual aspect, the Ruchnias. So that we've got the bagels and smoked salmon, which is the Gashmias, which enhances our Ruchnias. So we've got the joy. We've got Usumachtim. But what about HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself? And let's just read the words from the Pasuk. It doesn't matter if you don't have it in front of you. But in Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Lamates, in Vayikra Parshas Emor, Ach Bachamisha Osayom Lechodesh Ashri. And there it starts talking about Bos Bechemes Tuvas Oretz. So that is the grain, the harvest, which we're happy about from Chag Osif. Tochogu Es Chag Hashem Shivas Yomim. Can you see that it says Chag Hashem? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chag. V'yam Rishon Shabboson, V'yam Hashmini Shabboson. And then it talks about the Arba Minim. U'lekachtem Lochem V'yam Rishon. So you take the Lord of Esrik, Hadass and Arova. We won't necessarily read that all out now, but Priyetz Hodor, Kabbos Chloma, Anesovos, Vavei Nochal, U'samachtem, and you will rejoice. And then it says, V'chag Osem Asav Chag Lashem, then you will rejoice to Hashem's Chag, Shivas Yomim, Chukas Olom, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yomim, and we'll dwell in Sukkah. So we've got there the idea of Chag Osif, we've got the Arba Minim, and we've got the Sukkah. Chag HaSukkos Taseloch. L'man Yedu Daraseichem, in order that future generations will know, Ki V'Sukkos Hashavtes B'nei Yisrael, that I dwelt you in Sukkos, an argument, of course, in the Gemara. Doesn't mean Ananei Kavod, or doesn't mean Sukkos Mamash, but even Sukkos Mamash might not sound so miraculous, but when you're in a desert with snakes and scorpions and lack of food, and you get the mon and so on, it's a miraculous environment, and we are celebrating what happened in the Midbar. So my question is, although we do have the phrase there, Chag Lashem, because we are celebrating to Hashem, but it's also got the expression Chag Hashem, which seems to imply that it's not simply us who are celebrating, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is celebrating. Chag Hashem means Hashem is rejoicing. Now what does Hashem need to rejoice for? Hashem is completion, Hashem is Shlemus. Hashem doesn't need anything, but what's he happy about? Is he holding a party or something? What does the Chag Hashem mean? And then you can ask some other questions, and that is this. If it's called Chag HaSukkos, you know, with Pesach you've got Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaPesach, but Chag, everyone calls this Chag HaSukkos, although in another place it's called Chag HaOsif as well. But if it's the important thing, the sukkah, why doesn't it start talking about the sukkah? But first it talks about the grain, then it talks about the avamin, and then right at the end it's talking about the sukkah. Surely the Chag HaSukkot is the ikkah, the main thing, it should start talking about that. And then why? Another question is, why is it that we have such a thing as Chag HaSukkos, when why aren't we celebrating the mon in the Midbar, that we had sustenance of food for 40 years? Why aren't we celebrating the Be'er Miriam? What is so special about the Sukkah as opposed to these other things that we have a special Yom Tov in its name? So the Al-Sheikh says, well, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy because we've been through Yom Kippur, we've been davening, we've done teshuva, slicha v'chapara, we've come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem is happy. The other thing, of course, is that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai the second time, with the second set of luchos, after the story of the golden calf, when did he come down? He came down on Motzei Yom Kippur. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that his whole purpose of creating the world has come to fruition, because the world was created for the Torah. The Torah, Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu all combined. So that creates the Chag Hashem. So it goes deeper than that. What I've just mentioned are three concepts. I spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I spoke about Klal Yisrael, and I spoke about Torah. And the Sefer Ekorim, Rav Yosef Albo, writes, why is it that we had this program on Rosh Hashanah of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros? What's this big deal of splitting our Musaf Shemayin Esra into these three parts with 10 Pesukim of each? And he says the Malchios represents the sovereignty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Hashem, which we're highlighting in an important way. Then we got the Zichronos, remembering the past, our experience, the development of our people, the Ovos, Klal Yisrael, and that is the people of Israel. And thirdly, the Shofaros. What is the Shofaros? Shofaros represents Torah and the mitzvahs. So you've got this threesome concept. Malchus Zichronos Shofaros is alluding to the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, and the Torah. And those three things, he says, is like a triangle, that they are interdependent on each other. So much so that if you look at the Zohar in Parshas Acharimos, it gives us this mystical idea of Yisrael v'araisa kutcha barichu chadhu. What does that mean? That although we see the Jewish people as one concept, and the Torah as another concept, and God himself as another concept, they are really all combined. Chadhu doesn't mean they're all one and the same thing, but they are interreacting, they're interdependent on each other, so much so that if you take the three concepts and divide them up, and I'll get a bit mathematical there if you don't mind, and I do have in front of me a photocopy from the Sefer Torah Schemed of Rav Weissmandel. Rav Yochai Michal Dov Weissmandel, who was, I think, in Hungary, and he was well known for doing deals with the Nazis to save lots of Jews. But he wrote out certain ideas which the Steiplegon said he must have had Ruach HaKodesh when he wrote those ideas. And one of the first things he writes, in fact, the very first thing he writes in his Sefer Torah Schemed, is that if you take the idea of Yisrael and Araisah, then you will get Hashem's name. If you take Hashem's name and Yisrael, you'll get the Torah name. And if you get Hashem and the Torah, you'll get the Yisrael name. How so? Well, if you want, I know you're busy with the bagels, but I can give you a handout where he outlines this, where at the beginning of the Torah, he says, if you take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you add it to the name Yisroel, which is 541, then the two together come to 567. That number, 567, you count from the first Tov of the Torah, which is Bereishis. So with dilug osios, with intervals, I know that Torah codes have not always had a very good press, but this was before the age of computers that he wrote this. He worked this out without any computer. He said, if you count those 567 letters from the Tov, you get the Vov of Torah, and then the count another 567 letters, you get the Resh, and then you get the Hey. So that you take Hashem and Yisrael, you get Torah. And then he does the same thing in Sefer Vayikra, where Chazal say, where is the middle of the Torah? In Parsha Shemini, Kol HaLech Al Gochon. It's not exactly the middle, but there's a big Vov there on the Gochon. Chazal has this, now various Maimorim, what does it mean, the middle of the Torah? And he counts from there, the Shem Havayah, from that Vov of Gochon. In fact, he counts it backwards. What he does is he takes Torah, which is 611, and he takes Yisrael, which is 541, adds those two together, you get 1152, and you count 1152 letters from that Gochon backwards, with those intervals of 1152, and you get Yud, Ke, Vov, Ke, Hashem's name. So that in Bereshis you combine Hashem with Yisrael and then you get Torah. You put Torah with Yisrael in Vayikra and then you get Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then he goes over to the end of Devarim, almost the end of Devarim, Perek Lamed Aleph. And there he combines Hashem with Torah, 26 plus 611 to make 637. And from there he gets the hidden word Yisrael at intervals of 637 letters.
Counting which from where? Sorry?
Counting from the last Lamed of Perek Lamed Aleph. Here we are. Sof Perek Lamed Aleph, the Siyuma Shel Torah, Vayikra Chalos Moshe Lechtiv Tivra HaTorah Azos, Vayitzav Moshe Lekach Tiv Tivra HaTorah, Shmatim HaTorah Mitzad Oren Baris Hashem. That's not quite the very end of the Torah. Yes. And from there, he counts and he gets at the intervals of 637, combining Hashem with Torah, he gets Yisrael. You've got it here, all set out. Anyone else who wants a copy, they're available. Yeah, sure. That's I've got a few here. That is how he sets it out at the outset of his sofa. I haven't got a huge number of copies, but that. Now, if we, what he does is this idea then of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael, and Torah, in that triangle, if we picture it in our minds, he shows here how they interrelate to each other, but he then brings it to the subject of the Av Aminim in the most amazing way. The Lulav, the Estrog, the Hadas, and the Arova. Now remember, these words, Lulav, Estrog, and Hadas, and Arova, don't really appear in the Torah at all. The pasuk we've read out from the Av Aminim is that the Lulav is Kapos Tamarim, the Estrog is Priates Hodor, the Hadas is called Anofei Tolos, the Arova is called Arvei Nochal, so you've got a bit of Arova there. But in Torah Shebal Peh, we've got these other names. The Estrog, everyone agrees, Priates Hodor means Estrog. It's amazing. The Lulav, the Hadas, and Arova. And what he does with his system of dilug, of missing out letters and counting, he finds those four species as described in Torah Shebal Peh. And how does he do this?
What's the mathematical probability?
I can't hear.
What is the mathematical probability of that likely to happen?
I'll leave that to the statistician. But it's very remote. I know that when they came out with Torah codes, the Christians started jumping on the bandwagon, claiming that they, they want to copy us in everything. But the statistical probability, I mean, when you got a short word like Torah, it's just four letters, right? But when you got Yisrael, there's another place he finds Yivarechecho Hashem with Yud Kei Vav Kei at intervals of 49 letters. 49 is his favorite. 7, of course, is the important number, Shemitah and other things, Shabbos, 49, and he uses this as a dilug. But what he does with the Av Aminim, yes?
My friend Professor Lewis together, because some words of Mole or,
Okay. All right. Well, Esther Trigi puts without a vav, so somewhere you can, sometimes you can find it with a vav. Yeah. But it's not easy to explain, but there is a picture I have which I can put in front of you, but I'll just give you a summary, because I don't want to spend too much time on it, because you can really spend an hour on this. But what Rav Weissmandl does is this Kabbalistic idea of God with Kal Yisrael and Torah, he looks at Bereishis Shemos and Bamidbar and Devarim. Vayikra is a class of its own because it's the central theme, which he does in another way. But the theme at the beginning of Bereishis is Elokim. And the theme in Devarim is Hashem Elokeinu. So you've got HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming out with the emphasis in both Bereishis and Devarim. And in the middle, Shemos, the emphasis at the beginning is Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Yisrael. And Yaakov is also Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael. And Bamidbar, which is the Ohel Moed, is putting the Torah into action, putting the mitzvahs into action. So there's the emphasis on Ohel Moed. And then he says there are 13 attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he counts those words in each of those places 13 times. And then he says, now I take Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Hashem's name, the Yud for Bereishis, the Hei for Shemos, the Vav for Bamidbar, and the Hei of Devarim. Then he takes, after those 10 times, he takes Ayin 10 times. And then he counts at intervals of 49 letters, you get Arava. And then in Shemos you get Lulav. And in Bamidbar you get Hadas, and in Devarim you get Esdras. You can hand these out. I've got some in A3, I've got some in A4. But
he wants to show
that when you are shaking your lulav, you are combining the Yisrael Varaisa Kutcho Berichu of God, Klal Yisrael, and Torah all in one. I've got some in A4 as well. So, if you're skeptical about Torah codes, as you mentioned, Henry, well, you don't have to follow the Torah code philosophy. You just have to see how he's come to this limud, where he's brought out the Lulav, Esrog, and Hadas and Arava in the way they're written in Torah Shebaal Peh, in a most amazing way to show, really, Yisrael Daraisa Kudsho Berichu. We want to show that there is this triangle. Now, so when we shake the Lulav and Esrog and Hadas and Arava, we are combining all Klal Yisrael. We know the Chazal, that you've got different kinds of Jews, some who keep the mitzvahs, some who have a good outlook and hashkofa. So the Esrog has the smell and fragrance, and it's got the fruit. The Lulav has the fruit but hasn't got the fragrance. The Hadas has the fragrance, hasn't got the fruit. And the Arava is like the Rosha, which has neither. But we are putting together all Klal Yisrael. The Achdus of Klal Yisrael is important. That unity is so important that if you spend £500 on an Esrog, it's useless if you don't hold it together with your Arava, which represents the Rosha. And the Chasam Sofer says, why is it that the Esrog is not in the right hand? You've got the Lulav in the right hand. Surely the Esrog, which represents the Tzaddik, should be in the right hand, because you've got the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, and you've got the Hadas and the Arava as well as the Lulav, which shows Achdus, which shows our unity, Ki'ishechod B'leivechod, by combining everybody together. And the Nativ writes that the Dalad Minim, the four kinds of species, represents the weapons of battle. It is like fighting the Yetzirah, just like the Torah is our weapon. And as we all know, Chazal say the Lulav is compared to the spine, and the Esrog is compared to the heart, the Hadas is compared to the eye, and the Arava to the mouth. And these are the limbs of the body which are really performing Avodas Hashem, performing the Torah. Avodas Hashem alekecha b'chol levavecha, with all your heart. And the spine is, you can't walk without a spine. In b'chukosai teilechu, hatsnei leches. And then, of course, your eyes, those asuru achrei levavchem achrei einechem. The emphasis is on eyes, ein hora, and so on. And of course, limud haTorah comes from the mouth, as well as lashon hara comes from the mouth. These are the limbs of the body which are representing Torah. And we've got HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere. We're waving the Abba Minim in all directions because Hashem is everywhere. So combining Hashem and Torah and Klal Yisrael. And the Esrog itself, of course, has the gematria of 610, which is, you're allowed to be one out. 611 is Torah. And that, therefore, and in fact, though, if you take the gematrias of Esrog and Lulav and Hadas and Arova, you get 1018, which is Besorosi in my Torah. Now, when we come to Sukkah as well, you get this idea of Yisrael, of Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all combined. Kol Ezroch be Yisrael Yeshu Basukkah. So there are lots of drushes which come out that the whole of the Jewish people can sit under one sukkah. That's not just a technical halachic thing that you can have a very large sukkah. It's the fact that we're an achdus, that the symbol is that for Klal Yisrael you have the importance of sukkah. L'man yedu darasechem sashabti espenei Yisrael. So you've got there the idea of Yisrael, and that the Zohar says that the sukkah is Selah Demei Hamanusa. It is the shadow of your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we sat in the Sukkah in the Midbar, giving our faith in Hashem. We go out from our houses into a Diras Arai, putting ourselves under the elements, because we are putting our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you've got there the Israel, and you've got there, of course, the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that the Shechinah enters the Sukkah. And also the Sukkah represents Torah in a number of ways. The Bnei Yisoscha talks about that we sort of a Rachem, Rachem Arachamenu. Rachem is 248. Rachem Arachamenu is two times Rachem, which is Malchus, 496. Malchus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if in a practical way, we go to a basic halacha about Sukkah. We all know that the Sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim high. We know that the walls must be at least 7 tefachim wide. So if you take the first wall, it's 10 times 7. What's 10 times 7? 70. Now you've got a second wall, which is also 10 times 7. That's 70. Now your third wall only has to be 1 tefach wide. 10 high. 10 times 1 is 10. So we've now got 70 plus 70 plus 10, which is 150. But let's not forget, when you're entering the sukkah, you're surrounded not only by walls, you're surrounded by the floor, and you're surrounded by your schach on top. Right? What's that? 7 times 7 floor. 7 times 7 tzach, 49 plus 49. Add that to your 150 and you get 248. We serve Hashem with our 248 limbs, and there are 248 mitzvah sase which we put into action. The sukkah represents Torah. When you sit in your sukkah, you are shrouded and enveloped by the beauty of all the mitzvah sase. There is a piyut, in fact, which says that the sukkah is keneged kol hamitzvahs. And as we know, yes.
You said this gematria here many years ago about the internal, what's called, surface area. And I was so taken by it, I drawn a diagram of it, which is up in our sukkah.
Oh my goodness!
Well, picture. You're more than welcome. Come and see it.
Oh, I see. Is there a picture of me with my face on?
No, not with you.
So. Sukkah represents Olam Hazeh, Olam Nivra Behei. The Sukkah is like the letter Hey, 2 plus 1 with the wolves. And we use Olam Hazeh, our five senses, to do the mitzvahs. The Olam Habo is compared to the Yud. And the tenth Tefachim High gives this idea of Yud. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya goes into great detail of the Sukkah, how it's representative of Torah. First of all, the Sukkah you sit in 24-7. 24 hours a day, 7 days in the week. All the time you've got the mitzvah. Even when you're sleeping, you're getting the mitzvah out of it. Just like with Torah v'Argisa v'Yom v'Loila. Whereas Lulav is only in the daytime. And the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is that men and women are putter from Sukkah and putter from Nimud Torah, except for learning the mitzvahs, of course. But Olam Haboy is continuous and only accumulated by Torah. And you have the shade of the Sechach, which is representative of the Torah, that we sit in the shade of Torah like Yoshev Oholim. The Sukkah has three walls, just like the Torah has the three parts, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, which support the world. He compares the 10 Tefachim height to the Aseres Hadibros, the 10 so-called commandments, and that this 7 Tefachim is compared to the Sheva Chochmas. The wall is 10 by 7, 70, and it says Shivim Ponim LaTorah. So you've got both the idea of Torah, and the idea you've got of Klal Yisrael, and you've got the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all combining in your sukkah. By keeping your mitzvahs, you're alluding to the triangle. And really, you might say, well, what is it that Hashem doesn't feel complete if you are not celebrating, because we spoke about Chag Hashem. Hashem feels complete when we are celebrating his mitzvahs, because he created the world in order that we keep the Torah. But why should Hashem not feel complete? But we say with Amalek, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka, Hashem's name is not complete. When Amalek is around, and Amalek is of course the antithesis of Torah, they are anti the Jews, anti Klal Yisrael, and anti Torah, and Hashem's name is not complete. When we keep the Torah properly, and we've done our teshuvah and our tefillah and our tzedakah from Yom Kippur, so Hashem feels great, he feels glad that he's achieved something. Because there's another question, and that is this: when we come to Shmini Atzeres, Hashem says, "Koshe olai pridaschem." It's difficult for me to separate from you. This is in Vayikra b'yom Hashmini Atzeres Tiyalochem, and Rashi there says, "Osalti eschem etzli kamelech." It's like a king who has guests, and you stay a while, and I enjoy your company, and then the king says, "Please stay another day." Koshe olai pridaschem. It's hard for me to see you leaving, so that's why we have Shmini Atzeres. That Hashem says, spend an extra day with me. No special mitzvahs, no lulav, no sukkah, just you and me together. Because Hashem feels it's difficult for him to separate from us. Now, what can be difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complete. You do have in other place, one other place, the word kosher, but that's another drosha. But kosher life reduschem, Hashem feels it's difficult because his whole purpose of creation was the Torah and Klal Yisrael. So when we keep these mitzvahs and we do the sukkah properly, Hashem is rejoicing because we are completing that triangle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, and Klal Yisrael. So great is this mitzvah of sukkah. Says the Rabbeinu Bechayi, it's as if you are learning Torah properly. And that's an amazing deal, because when you're sleeping, it's as if you're learning Torah. Can you imagine when you're just talking on the phone in the sukkah, on Chol HaMoed, and you're doing business maybe on your computer, for the Dov HaOved on Chol HaMoed, you're still as if you are learning Torah because you're sitting in that sukkah. In the Russian-Japanese War in 1904-1905, the yeshiva brachim had to be enlisted in the army, and they were on the frontier there with Japan, and they wanted to keep the mitzvah of sukkah. So they dug a deep sort of foxhole and they covered it with leaves, and they took turns to take their rations and to sit in the sukkah even through the night, so that they all had a turn enabling them to keep the mitzvah of sukkah. And they wrote to their Rebbe, who was the Sfas Emes, Rav Yehuda Arye Lev Alter, and he says, of people like you, he said to his Bachrim, Haidosi Lochem Hayom Es HaShamayim Es HaOretz, Hashem, I have adorned the heaven and the earth with you. So even the mundane activities which we do in the sukkah is part and parcel of this amazing triangle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, and the Torah. So now we know about our question, why is it called Chag Hashem? So we spoke about Chag Lashem, we celebrate, but Hashem is celebrating. And he's not just celebrating the fact that we've done our teshuvah, we've been through Yom Kippur, and that the luchos have come down on Motzei Yom Kippur, but he's celebrating the whole purpose of his triangle, of the interdependence of Klal Yisrael with the Torah. So much so that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does offer the non-Jews a mitzvah, because the non-Jews one day in the future will complain. They say, we got no mitzvahs to keep, it's not fair. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel, Amud Beis. Hashem says, okay, I'll give you a mitzvah to keep. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nafes is HaGoyim B'mitzvah Sukkah. He will test them with which mitzvah. He says, I'll give you an easy mitzvah. He gives them Sukkah. Miyad Kol Echod VeEchod, No Tel Beholech. An interesting expression there in the Gemara. Kol Echod VeEchod, every single one, every single individual. And then it repeats that phrase. V'chol echod v'echod yevayit b'sukkos v'yetzeh. Hashem brings out the hot sun, and every single one of them kicks down their sukkah in annoyance because it's uncomfortable. And the obvious question is, well, why should you blame them for leaving the sukkah if Hashem brings out the hot sun? If it's uncomfortable, you don't have to sit in the sukkah when it's uncomfortable. Mitzta'er potur min ha-sukkah. You don't have to keep sukkah if you're troubled. But when the Jew leaves his sukkah, he feels this tsar. He feels upset that he's unable to perform his mitzvah when it's raining in, or it's uncomfortable, or whatever, or he's sick. He's unable to mitzvah, put him in a sukkah. He feels this tragedy that he can't comply. Whereas when the non-Jew leaves the sukkah, he kicks it down in annoyance. It goes deeper than this. It's not simply the different characteristics of the personalities. I find it amazing that it says in that Gemara, v'chol echod v'echod, every single one. It's because there is a special yichus of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we've got this mitzvah of sukkah. It completes that triangle that he's given us the Torah, and we put the Torah into effect at this amazing time of the year when we've been through Yom Kippur. And that's that special relationship. It's like this expression between the United Kingdom and the United States of America. A special relationship. We've got a much better one with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because we have that special relationship, there's no way that the Gentiles of the world can keep this mitzvah of sukkah properly, however much they try. Yes, Henry?
Why did he give them that mitzvah?
Why did he give them that mitzvah?
Why give them one mitzvah?
Well, for us, you mean, what you're saying is for them it turned out to be a hard mitzvah.
No, I think it wasn't possible.
But it wasn't possible. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows our Yodea Machshavos. We're going to sing this when we get to Simchas Torah as well with HaKadosh. Yodea Machshavos. Hashem knows how we think. So even if a mitzvah, whether it's easy or hard, it doesn't really make a difference, because every mitzvah kadosh will be seen as kechamura. But what Hashem wants to know is what is in our heart, and what is in our eyes, and what is in our spine, and what is in our mouth. He wants to know what is our dveikus, and that we are demonstrating with the mitzvah of sukkah.
They don't have a chance.
And whereas with other mitzvahs, it doesn't show up so quite easily. And that is why the Gemara says, I'm sure there are plenty of other answers to this question. But there in the sukkah, we are surrendering ourselves. We're surrendering the comfort of our houses to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that shows our devekus to Hashem. We show that our achdus together, kolo ezroch v'yisrael yeshvu basukos, we have that unity amongst us. And that, as Rabbeinu Bechai says, it's synonymous with Torah in that special relationship. It's like being a member of a club, in that we've earned it through our Ovos, through Har Sinai, through Nasen and Vinishma, through the Nisyonos.
Actually, regarding the Nisyonos, Sukkot is associated with the Nisyonos because of the 70 Purim.
Yes.
And at the end of days, it says they were all Kamatiyot like Sukkot.
So yes, that's true. We do have regard to the 70 nations, and we pray for them on Sukkot, because the whole world is judged for rain and so on. But nevertheless, notwithstanding that, when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, when you get the climax of Kosher Olai Pridaschem, Hashem says, I want that special relationship. There's just one bull. After all the Kriyas HaTorah of the laning of Azot HaBrocha, and then we go to Bereshis, and then we finally get to this one bull we've been waiting for, to show the Achdus of that triangle of Klal Yisrael. And we also asked at the beginning, why is Sukkot left to the end of the Parsha? We start talking about gathering the produce, and we talk about the Abba Midin. If Sukkot is so important, why does it start? Why does it not start talking about the mitzvah of Sukkot? Because the Sukkot, you have to earn it. You've been through the Chag HaOsif, and you've got the Simcha, and you've got the recognition that Hashem gave you your parnosa, your livelihood, and that gives you your Simcha. You go through the Av Aminim, and you prove the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, that unity of the Jewish people, by mixing the Rosha with the Tzaddik and the Beinanim together. And once you've been through those motions of the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, and your Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your recognition of the importance of the Torah, then you get the mitzvah of Sukkah. And that's why it comes at the end of the parasha, to show this Achdus. And your behavior with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with Klal Yisrael and Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah is brought out by the Sukkah itself, which gives you Torah as your climax. So lots more one can say. You've got the handouts which can... you know why I felt like giving out a handout? Because for 18 months I couldn't give you a handout. You know, I've been just seeing faces of yours on a computer screen, and now there's this great joy that we're back together in normality. So I thought, although there's lots of food around on the table with bagels and smoked salmon, let's do some handouts for once, which gives us a feeling that we got that, just like we got the interpersonal relationships and we got an enhanced achdus, which we celebrate on Sukkot, so we've got the enhanced relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu, hopefully post-COVID, that we're back normal in our Diras Keva in the North Hendon Synagogue, where we can serve Hashem properly and together with all the wonderful food we got on the table, which is, thank you very much, have a Gemach HaSimah Tova and a Chag Sameach, enjoy not just the Chag Lashem, but also the Chag Hashem. Thank you.
Sukkot becoming at the very end of the Abraham is highlighted, especially as you're actually before you become Abraham in nighttime.
Yeah, okay. There's more on this. The Shemesh Shmuel discusses the subject as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.